The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So for this Sunday morning talk, a little bit what I have in mind is a continue on the theme of the 7 a.m. in the morning talks on mindfulness of breathing. And we've come to that part of the series on mindfulness of breathing to emphasize being aware of the body as we breathe. And this wonderful body, challenging body, is a very important locus, place for mindfulness practice. And the question, how to have a deep relationship to this body, or a full relationship to it, is very important for vipassana practice. Because vipassana practice, especially the tradition of vipassana that I trained in and many of the Western teachers trained in, what's called the Mahasi technique, was very much in some ways a body practice, in that it focused on what's called the four elements. And it was awareness, mindfulness of the four elements within us. And in our experience. And this is, as I say, four elements is the word can also mean qualities, four dimensions, I like to think of them as sensations. And it's a sensation meditation. It's an element meditation we're doing. And classically in Vipassana, this is one of the ways of really going deep in this practice, is to tune into the sensations of our experience. And that works as a very wonderful alternative to excessively focusing on the concepts and the ideas of our life, the stories of our life, and even the concepts and ideas of our body. To drop the stories, the ideas, the judgments that we have, and put all those aside and be infinitely forgiving, infinitely accepting of our direct, immediate sensory experience without any overlay of it should be different or I need to be different or something's wrong with me because I'm somehow this way or that way with my body. But those are all stories and concepts, and to drop down into really feeling the directness and the immediacy of the body in itself, or like I like to say, the body's own experience of itself. Not the experience that's mediated through a thick layer of concepts and ideas, but the experience of the body comes through sensing, the felt sense of sensations, the way that sensations are experienced in the body. And the classic way of talking about this in Buddhism is to call it a four elements meditation. And those four elements are earth, water, fire, and air. And so it's kind of an ancient kind of idea that the basic building blocks of experience of the world is earth, water, fire, and air. And I find it kind of delightful and somewhat profound, this idea that the building blocks of the world are found in us. And we can really, so as we tune into these qualities in ourselves, there's a resonance or an association that we're also tuning into something, the deep natural elements of this world that we live in. And there's a kind of a wonderful sense of mutuality or sense of interconnectedness or sense of resonance or sense of continuity between ourselves and the world that we live in, the natural world that we are part of. And it doesn't take a lot of reflection to think that, the physical body that we have is completely made up of recycled materials. The atoms that our body is built from have been come together and formed all kinds of different things over time. And been shaped and dissolved and reformed, and there was a time I think all of it was just helium, and back in the beginning of the universe perhaps, and And all things, as the universe kind of was created and formed, all kinds of things started to, you know, these atoms, they had a long journey through this cosmos to us and here. And that when we die, our atoms and the elements within us don't just disappear, but they'll take new shapes after us. And so we're this recipient of all this material that the natural world has given us, that's made us possible. And when we die, we give it back, in a sense. And it becomes something else, in this receiving and giving of our lives. And the four elements are, when we focus on it in meditation, the general way that we understand this is that they're not the actual elements, like objects, like atoms, but rather they are qualities of sensations, the ways in which we feel or sense things. And so the qualities of warmth is the fire element. The qualities of hardness and stability is the earth element. The qualities of fluidity are the that we might feel inside of us are the water element. And the qualities of lifting and extension and stretching is said to be the air element. And exactly the correlation between each of these four elements and our personal sensations that we experience, it's a little bit arbitrary, a little bit, and a little bit personal. And you find I was a little bit confused when I used to study this, because different teachers seem to explain these four elements in different ways. And to get them, you know, exactly make a correlation between the elements and our sensations is, you know, try to fit everything into it is a little bit hard. But it's not so much that we have to get it right, but rather it's the principle that we're really tuning into these sensations. And in doing so, developing concentration, developing depth, and developing a kind of freedom that comes when we are for temporarily separating ourselves or freeing ourselves from only living in concepts, in stories, in thoughts about the future and self, and especially all kinds of ways of orienting ourselves to the world that's oriented around the concept and the feeling, the sense of a self, me, myself, and mine. In many situations, those are appropriate enough to have those kinds of thoughts and ideas. But to only have those ideas is to limit our life dramatically. And just like it's very valuable to have breakfast, lunch, or dinner, to have meals, but you don't want to sit and have a meal 24 hours a day. It's good to have them occasionally, but not constantly. So it's good to have thoughts of self and ideas and concepts periodically, but it's really nice not to have it be constantly. And part of the function of meditation is one of those ways that we can get a vacation from ourselves, our me, myself, and my kind of thoughts. And it creates a very different perspective and orientation for living our lives if we're not only seeing it through the lens of me, myself, and mine, what's in it for me, and what's happening to me, and what's right about me, what's wrong with me, and what I'm going to get, and what happened to me yesterday, or all this stuff, and just kind of all these stories, to have that kind of part of the mind become peaceful and calm and settled. And one of the ways to do that is to have a deep, trusting awareness of the felt body, the felt experience of the body, to settle into this. Now, it might seem to the uninitiated that this is maybe a boring thing to do, or somehow a diminishing of our life to reduce our experience just to the sensations of our body. But what happens is that a number of things can happen. One is we're freeing ourselves from all these thoughts and ideas, which often limit us already. It actually frees us from them to experience something more expansive, more freeing, more relaxing. And it allows the relaxation and the concentration to deepen and deepen, and it becomes a fuller, deeper experience of life when we don't have the surface thoughts that kind of keeps us on the surface. So the four elements, the earth element, is said to be sensations of hardness, sensations of heaviness, of solidity. And its function is to support us. It's that which supports us. The earth is a support for us. All of us, in one way or the other, are supported by the earth, standing on it, sitting on it in some way. It's most represented by the idea of the Buddha meditating. Classically, the Buddha, when he was sitting under the Bodhi tree to be enlightened, was sitting directly on the ground. And he'd had some grass that he had gathered to create a little bit of seat for himself. So it wasn't straight on the dirt, perhaps, but it was pretty much like sitting on the ground. He often would teach under a tree, sitting on the ground. He died laying on the ground and between two trees, and that's how he died. This idea of feeling the support, feeling connected, feeling grounded on the earth, I think must have been pretty natural for the Buddha at his time, and maybe many people of his time. They lived so close to the earth. Here, you know, I'm in a building, and you know, I'm not literally touching the earth. I feel a support of the earth, but it comes through the building, and the foundation is the building and the floor. And it's very different to live in touch with the ground, and even to walk barefoot on the soil is such a great thing to do. But the function of the earth element is support, is foundation. And to really touch that earth foundation, touch that foundation that holds us and supports us in the solidity of the torso, the solidity of the hip bones and the sitting bones against your seat if you're sitting, the feet against the ground, the way that the lower torso supports the upper torso, the way that the shoulders support the neck and the neck supports the head. All that has to do with it's the earth element, they say, of solidity, of hardness, of strength that's supporting it. And it's possible to feel all this. And in feeling that foundation, that support, it's possible also then to relax more. It's support for relaxing. We don't have to do all the work of supporting ourselves. We can begin trusting and allowing something within to support us. The image of the earth that's very powerful in Buddhism is that of the Buddha having doubts about his capacity or appropriateness of becoming enlightened, or being challenged that he wasn't appropriate, and that he reached his hand forward over the knee, and like he is in the statue here, I don't know if I'm behind me, you see his fingers there reaching down towards the earth, and he's going to touch the earth. We don't actually know. Did he just touch it, or is he about to touch it in the statue? And when he touched, he called on the earth to be his witness to his right or appropriateness of becoming enlightened, of becoming free. And this, there's so many doubts we have about: is it okay to be free? Is it okay to meditate? Is it okay to really release all the attachments and the holdings that we have and connections we have in a certain way to other people and responsibilities? Is it okay? And how do we know it's okay? And the Buddha then reached forward and touched the earth. And the earth back then was considered almost to be a deity, the earth mother, or a kind of a being in itself. And touching the earth responded and affirmed that it was okay for him to be enlightened. So the same thing, if we could really trust and entrust ourselves to that foundation that the body provides us, and to feel that foundation. Often tension that we carry and fear we carry can be an upwelling, lifting up and lifting away from the earth, kind of fighting it or trying to get away from it or something. And this idea of trusting that earth element within us, the foundation, the support that we receive. The water element has to do with the sense of fluidity and also cohesion. They say the function of the water element is to intensify our experience or to hold it together, holding things together. And the analogy, ancient analogy, is that kind of like use flour, dry flour just falls apart as you lift it up and throw it to the wind. It scatters. But when you put mix it with water, the water makes it cohesive and the flour particles stick together. So the idea that water is that which holds things together in the ancient kind of physics they had, sense of cohesion. And so in our own experience, the water element can be a sense of fluidity, the flow, anything that seems like it's flowing, a little bit different than movement. It is a movement, but a certain kind of movement of fluidity, flowing, like you can get a sense of flowing vibrations or energies through the body, or sometimes it can feel the flow of the blood through the body, or you can feel the flow of the saliva in the mouth as you swallow, as you move around the saliva in your mouth. Snot, the flow of snot. There's all these sense of flowing. And then cohesion, holding it together. So I think that sense of cohesion is also felt that as we breathe in and the torso expands, what holds it together is the cohesive forces of our cells and the atoms or whatever is there holding us. So we don't just fall apart. Something's holding us together, bag of skin that we have that's around us. And so that feeling of cohesion, of being held together and in place, is the water element. They say that then the fire element is temperature, especially warmth, it's heat. So when we feel heat, we're feeling the fire temperature. And the function, one of the functions of heat, of the fire element, is to soften things. It's like cooking things and they get soft. Being in a sauna and the body softens. It also has a function of maybe as they soften, also aging. The heat is what ages us. The activities of life, the functioning of everything that we do, all the biochemical, physical functionings that are active, produces heat in the body. And the ancient world said that's also the function, is to age things, to mellow things, to soften things, to age things. But to feel that when you feel the warmth in your body or feel temperature in your body, that's said to be the fire element. And then the air element is has to do with a different kind of movement than the fluidity of water. It has to do with water where there's a pushing or a lifting or a sense of extension. So you blow into a balloon, the balloon blows up and extends and stretches. If you blow on a dandelion flower and the little white puffs lift up in the air, it's the air element, it's the wind element of the air that's lifting it and pushing it up. So they say that then the air element comes into play as we breathe. There's a lifting that goes on, lifting, expanding of the chest. When we walk, there's a kind of pushing a little bit as the foot swings forward, perhaps. And anything that's transporting, anything that's conveying, anything that's making motion happen is said to be the air element. So any movement we're experiencing, the common thing is associated that with the air element. Interesting, there are two more elements that make it more interesting, this whole thing. As we start feeling the depth of our sensations, really feeling them carefully and tuning into them, we also start feeling space, the space element. And around us, there's space, lots of space. Some rooms are small, some rooms are big. Step outside, there's more space. And space makes a difference. If space changes how we relate to things and how we are towards things, if we're in a small elevator that could hold comfortably four people, but there are 12, 15 people in the elevator, we're not going to feel very generous or very safe or very comfortable and very loving to people. We're just kind of like just trying to breathe and survive. But once there's much more space, there's breathing room. There's space to feel, space to be safe, space to kind of move about and be free. And that sense of space can also be internal. With the eyes closed, there's a marvelous way in which we start feeling space between the sensations there. And one of the great delights for me is this infinite, vast space that I feel in my torso, in my mind, in my kind of within. The deeper I go in meditation, the more space it seems to be. Sometimes I have a feeling like I'm looking into deep space when I'm looking into a feeling into my body. And there's a feeling, a sensation of much more space than there actually is. If you ever have a chance to look at insides of a corpse, it's pretty packed in there, all the organs and everything. It doesn't seem like a lot of space. But we can feel space. And that space makes so much possible. The space that is there, the absence when one sensation goes away and it's not there anymore, that absence is a kind of a space. space, absence, is closely connected to freedom, closely connected to not being oppressed or not being caught. But the final element, they say, or quality, and sometimes there's considered to be four elements, four qualities, sometimes six. And when there's a sixth, the sixth one is consciousness itself. And consciousness is an amazing thing. It's its own quality, its own characteristic, its own thing. Exactly what consciousness is, I don't think anybody really knows. There's lots of definitions and theories and trends into what consciousness actually is. But whatever it is, it's kind of a miracle, an amazing thing. And in terms of this wonderful world we live in, that we're supported by the earth, supported by the water, life-giving water, supported by the air, supported by the warmth that the sun provides. All these things are, these four elements are essential for our lives. Space is essential for our lives to move around and take care of things. And consciousness is essential for our lives. In fact, we don't experience any of the sensations without some degree of consciousness. When we die, consciousness is no longer in the body. And then if the body is touched, there's no sensations. If the body gets warm when it goes into cremation, it doesn't feel the warmth. There's no sensations anymore. There's no nerves that are alive to signal pain or pleasure or anything. And so every sensation we feel is a symptom of being alive. And there's consciousness, awareness of it. But what is this amazing world we live in that we can be conscious of? There's this wonderful idea, a little bit turns the mind or stops the mind, or is this simple, often said idea, that question, when a tree falls in the forest, is there a sound if no one is there? If there's no sentient being there that has ears to hear, is there a sound? There are certainly waves. The airwaves have been formed in a certain kind of way. But does that mean that there's a sound there? And I think generally people say, no, there's no sound. The sound only happens when those airwaves hit the eardrums and vibrate them and start in motion the processes that lead to hearing. To say it in a different way, if there's a beautiful, colorful sunset, but there's no one to see it, is it beautiful? Is that display of color even there? Do we need to have sentient beings with eyes who can take in the color and process it and then form it in the mind so that we appreciate it? Maybe there is no color. We look at a plant that has a different, or any object that has a color. It's this funny thing where the object actually doesn't have color, the color we see. The color we see is the light waves that are being bounced off the object. The light, the particular frequencies that get absorbed, we don't see. What we see are the ones that bounce off it. In fact, maybe we could almost say that we never see the color of an object. We just see all the color that it's not. And so these kinds of ideas, you know, for hundreds of billions of times before there was sentient beings on this world, planet of ours, I bet there were all kinds of what we would say colorful sunsets, beautiful sunsets, inspiring, awe-inspiring sunsets over the ocean, for example. But there was no one to see them, no consciousness to experience it. And was it really a beautiful sunset then? Maybe the beauty is partly a product of this interaction between the world and ourselves. And there's an intimacy, there's a co-creation. There's a way in which we are part of the natural world, that the natural world then experiences itself in a unique way. For human beings, we experience the world differently than bats, or different than, you know, certain, you know, hummingbirds and insects. And everyone has their own way and their own wavelengths of light that they see and ways in which they experience. It's a different world that we all live in. But that world is co-created. We see it in a way. And so to meditate on the elements and to see them as elements, not just see them as solidity and hardness, softness, extension, movement, fluidity, warmth and coolness, but to call them elements, the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and air element, is a representative or symbolic way of stating we are integral and intimate and part of this natural world, part of this world. We're an extension of it, or an outgrowth of it, or a part, intimate part of it, or a particular manifestation of it, as is this consciousness of ours. And to sit in awe and sit in appreciation, to feel all this and sense all this and experience, not just think of ourselves as part of the world, but experience ourselves as part of this world, to appreciate it, to allow this consciousness that we've been given to take in, for whatever reason that's been given us, the capacity to take in the beauty of this world. The beauty of a flower, the beauty of the blue sky to hear today, and the beauty of the snow, the beauty of the rain, the beauty of the ocean, beauty of the night sky. We have some reason we can do that. And to not spend our time lost in concepts and ideas and stories and preoccupation, not get lost in the computer and the websites and, you know, that takes us down rabbit holes, but to really be able to experience the depth of this life here, to settle and quiet and feel the earth elements, the consciousness element, the space element, and to feel the beauty of it and the freedom that's possible, is not a withdrawal from the world. It's actually entering into it more deeply so that we can care for it more, so that we can live freely in it, and that our care is an expression of freedom, not an obligation of freedom. That it's a way of touching in not only to our capacity to see beauty, but our capacity to love, our capacity to care, our capacity to see each other as family. We all share the same elements. There's, in terms of elements, there's no difference between us. We're all families of sentient life on this earth, and to see each other that way is one of the potentials when we drop all the stories and all the concepts and can really let our hearts resonate with the world around us. So, the four elements, may you maybe appreciate how deeply these basic natural elements can be found in you as the qualities of sensations. And maybe as you settle into it and feel that, maybe you can feel some greater depth and inspiration and awe to be alive and to live on this planet. Thank you.